In this sixth lecture, we are now up to our third approach to the dietary laws, and this would be the symbolic approach, and we're going to split this into two separate shiurim. Certain halachos can best be explained through this approach, such as Gid Hanasha, the prohibition of chametz on Pesach, and the laws of Basar B'chalav, which have three parts: eating a milk and meat mixture, cooking milk and meat, and having hana benefit from basar b'chalav. So what is the symbolic approach? In symbolism, we use some sort of sign or action to convey a meaning that is associated with what we are doing. Rafirsch discusses this at length in volume 3 of the collective writings, and we discussed it in the 19 letters series as well. To give one example from life, an olive branch symbolizes peace. In Judaism, we have extensive use of such symbols. To give one example, tzitzis is clearly symbolic. And the Torah spells it out for us. Some prime examples of symbolism related to the dietary laws, as we said, Gid Hanasha and Chametz on Pesach. So in terms of Gid Hanasha, Yaakov has a fight with some sort of being and ends up limping. We therefore don't eat this part of the animal. In terms of chametz, we were rushed to leave Mitzrayim. We had no time to bake any chametz, and we therefore stay away from chametz during Pesach. Now, it is obvious that these reasons, in and of themselves, are not why we keep these mitzvos. Clearly, they're meant to teach us ideas that are fundamentally important for all time, and Hashem chose these symbols as the way to teach us these lessons. So Gid Hanasha, for example, represents the morality of Yaakov versus the brute force used by Esav. It's a struggle that has been continuing throughout history. What do we see? We see that Yaakov is injured by Esav's representative, but he is not defeated by him. He could not be defeated by him. So too, we, throughout Gullus, are injured, but the superior force of Esav will never be able to completely defeat us. And this is encapsulated by the commandment of Gid Hanasha. It is the symbol that brings us to our mind. In terms of chametz, the fact that we did not have proper provisions when we left Mitzrayim is very significant. We had no way to survive outside of Mitzrayim, and the very fact that we left without adequate food shows us that we, the oppressed group, did not have any power to rise up against the mighty Egyptians. We were completely and totally helpless. If not for Hashem taking us out, as we say in the Haggadah, we would have remained in this hopeless situation. There was no way out of it. The Torah tells us in Shemos 13:3, Ki b'chozek yad hotzi Hashem eschem mizeh v'lo ye'achel chametz. For by the strength of hand Hashem brought you out of Egypt. Therefore, we are not allowed to eat chametz. By refraining from chametz yearly, we demonstrate that only Hashem guides us. On the other hand, one who eats chametz on Pesach is denying God's sovereign rule over the history of mankind and of the Jewish nation in particular, and his punishment is kares. He has excluded himself from his people by denying Hashem's direct intervention, and he therefore himself suffers kares, having his soul cut off from his people. So this concludes part one of our discussion regarding symbolism and some of the dietary laws, and in part two we will continue to discuss the symbolic approach to explain some of the rationales for Basar B'chalav, which is much more detailed and more complicated.